G'day, Barry here. Thanks for downloading another Dead Set Legends podcast with Angela Sun and Andrew Embley.
This week we caught up with the Matildas' Sarah Walsh ahead of Australia's clash with Japan in the FIFA World Cup quarterfinal.
We spoke to Lachie Neal about their tough win against Collingwood and Matthew Pavlich's testimonial.
And we also checked in with Adam Gilchrist before he runs the Gold Coast Airport Marathon with his wife. Soccer is really booming in this state, particularly women's soccer. And off the back of the Matildas, who are just on fire, had their best ever result. They're into the quarterfinals. They're playing Japan, the technical wizards Japan, who are the defending champs at the World Cup. It's 4 a.m. Sunday, 4 a.m. tomorrow, actually, and it's going to be massive. So let's cross to Canada and speak to Sarah Walsh at the Matildas, with the Matildas, about this terrific event. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm doing really well, thanks.
Are you excited? Or you may not realise, but the Matildas are massive news in Australia now. It's incredible. And I do this news on Channel 7, the sport, and every night they're getting a story. And it's unheard of, unprecedented. It's great for women's soccer.
Yeah, it really is. And like you said, it's hard for us to fathom here, being over here. But it's partly my job as a mentor is actually to print all these stories out and put them up in the hallways. So I think the girls kind of, they get it and it probably won't hit them until they get home. But hopefully, you know, that's not for a while.
Sarah, you mentioned that you're a mentor. You've obviously had experience playing in the World Cup. How are the girls feeling? Obviously, such an exciting time for them, but they've got such a big coming up. How are the nerves in the rooms at the moment?
Oh, look, the nerves are pretty good, actually. And like you said, I've been around for a while and there's just something different about this team. I know it's really easy and cliche to say now that we're winning, but there's this self-belief that they have that's just ridiculous. So, and, you know, they're quietly confident about tomorrow. Know they need to turn up. For me, if they turn up and Japan turn up, we will be the better team. Obviously, if we dip our quality a little bit, well, you know, Japan will come away, but we really are the informed team at the moment.
And how's the weather forecast looking? Because I know this is the first Soccer World Cup to be played on artificial turf, and it's been very hot over there, and it, you know, it's the ground has been overheating. Is that going to be an issue?
We were at the ground today at around 1-2 o'clock, so the same time as the game will be tomorrow. And it's pretty hot on the turf, and it's a lot hotter than it is on grass. There's no doubt about that. But to be honest, at this level, I don't think it'll make huge difference.
But didn't one of your players get burnt feet though on the pitches?
I did read about that, actually. I think what she meant to say was she got blisters.
Oh, okay.
Something about her skin dripping off.
Don't tell me the media beat it. Don't tell me the media beat it up. That never happens. Look, I've got to ask you about Sam Kerr, because Embers and I know the Kerr family well. In fact, we know Sam. And how well's she done? And she's an absolute star. Was a great junior footballer and also soccer player, and just taken all before her, hasn't she?
She has, and I tell you what, if there's anyone with a character around the team, it's Sammy.
Runs in the family, I think.
Samuel Kerr. Yeah, she's just a character, really good to have around the team. But I think she's, you know, one of a handful of players that worked really hard to get to this World Cup, to even be on the field. You know, she was in a really bad place 3 months ago with her knee. So she's had to, you know, come from, you know, behind the eight ball to even get onto the field, to even be here, to turn herself into a starter, and then, you know, to impact matches. Defensively, she was one of our best players against Brazil. Apparently, she did something like 25 track backs to pick up her left back, and without that, you know, Brazil could score off a cross. So we'll need more of that tomorrow. And I think that's probably the mindset that's changing this team, that everybody knows you have to defend from the front. There's no one that's above doing work.
Well, give her the best. Give her our best from the Dead Set Legends, in particular Embers and Barra. That'll inspire her. Embers. Tell her we're rooting for her. So, and super sub Kaya Simon. I love her too. She comes off the bench and scores winners. Amazing. So it's 4 a.m. Australian time tomorrow, and we'll be getting up to support you. Good on you, Sarah. We wish you all the best.
Excellent. Thanks for your support, guys.
Yes, and let's talk footy now. In particular, the Fremantle Dockers going beautifully, still on top of the ladder. Sydney lost last night, so that's brilliant for them because it makes it even more likely that they'll finish top two, which means they get a home final in the first week. It could be against the West Coast Eagles, who are currently in the top four as well. And last night was a big night for the club too. They celebrated probably their greatest figure of the club's history, Matthew Pavlich, the great man himself. He had a testimonial. And one of their stars is Lachie Neale. He joins us on the line, and I believe he was there last night. G'day, Lock. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, thanks, Barra. Yes, I was there last night. It was a great night to celebrate Freo's most decorated player.
Yeah, I heard there were some great speeches, and Hayden Ballantyne with a couple of clangers from him. But a great turnout, though, eh? A really good turnout. And the Pav, he's such a humble fella, isn't he, too? He would have hated, I reckon, all the way it was being spoken about.
Yeah, exactly. He mentioned a couple of times that he was feeling pretty embarrassed and uncomfortable up there. But, like you said, Bella's made a couple of blues up there, and there was some good laughs as well with some past players and stuff as well. So it was a really good night.
G'day, Lock. Embers here. Want to talk to you about Thursday night. I thought your effort as a team was a really good effort because Collingwood came over. They challenged you guys. I thought Collingwood's pressure was outstanding. But your last quarter in particular as a group, you really stood up. And it must also be great to know that you weren't probably at your best, but you guys just did enough to be able to win that game.
Yeah, that's it. We definitely didn't have our best night, and the first three quarters were pretty rough by us, but in the last quarter, like you said, we found a way and we dug deep, and led by our leaders in the midfield by Nathan Fyfe, Dave Mundy and Aaron Sandlands, we got the job done. And all credit to Collingwood as well. They came over to play and really, really put in and made us work for that win. So it was good that we got the result in the end.
You spoke about a couple of key players there, but don't count yourself short, mate. I thought your performance on the weekend was fantastic, or on Thursday night was terrific. But your form, really breakthrough year last year, but I think you've taken your game to another level this year, mate. You're going beautifully at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose after being in the system for, this is my fourth year now, I've developed a bit more of a tank and running games out a little bit better than I have in the past. And all credit to Brett Kirk and the midfield coaches for developing my inside game a little bit more as well. And that's really helped me to sort of play a little bit more consistent this year and hopefully provide a little bit more for the team.
Now, back to last night, obviously Pavlich's retirement is looming. So did he talk about that last night? Did he talk about his future?
Not really. He touched on it quickly and just said that at the moment he's completely undecided and he's not sure what the future holds, and he's just focusing on each week as it comes. So I have no idea what's going to happen, but that's all I know about that.
Well, the one thing we do know is that the Dockers will probably finish top two, and I see in the paper today Mark Duffield's done his mid-season review, and he's got the first week of the finals, Fremantle versus the Eagles in a derby final. That'd be something special, wouldn't it, Lock?
Yeah, it would. I'm not sure if West Coast and Freo have ever played in the final.
Never, never, no.
Never, yeah. So it'd be massive for the state. Obviously, both teams would treat it as a massive game as well because it's finals footy, and it would be really exciting for the state. But, we've got to make top two first. There's still a long way to go in the season. As you saw last night as well with Richmond beating Sydney, anything can happen this year. So we've got to take it each week at a time.
No doubt. Good on you, mate. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legends. Keep up your great form and your great season, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
On the eve of the Ashes, so who better to speak to than one of Australia's greatest players, Adam Gilchrist, who's also about to run a marathon, I believe. Gilly, welcome to the show, mate.
Oh, good morning, guys. Look, I'm not literally on the starting line just yet, Barra. I've got another week to go, mate. and I'll clarify, I'm going to start a marathon. Not sure whether I'll finish it.
Right. And it sounds like you're down at the beach this morning, are you?
A bit breezy now. I'm at McGilvray Sporting Fields.
Oh, okay.
My daughter play hockey. It's a bit of a cool breeze, but it's beautiful down here. No other place you'd want to be.
So tell us about this, Gilly, the Airport Marathon on the Gold Coast. I believe you're running it, but also your wife, Mel, which that must have been interesting as well.
Yeah, we committed together. We committed to train together. We that's created various issues along the way. But I'm slightly, my natural running pace is slightly quicker than Mel's, but I'd say she's got the better endurance than me. So we've tried to balance it up, and, you know, little rules like having to run on the left-hand side, she's got to be on the right-hand side until it suits her, and then she starts off in front of me. And,
that's funny.
Yeah, but you don't argue. No, it's been very good, actually. I did go for a run this morning. I had to travel yesterday, so I missed our run yesterday, and I had to go this morning by myself. I found it pretty lonely, so I think anyone considering ever doing something like this, get a running partner. It's well worth it.
Paddy and I actually have a rule, but it's a rule when we have photographs taken, like for the social pages, etc., that I always have to be on the left-hand side.
It's doing that pose you do with your arm.
Hand on here.
Doesn't matter what side I'm on in those photos. I'm not going to look any better. So.
Now, Gilly, the Ashes coming up very shortly. A lot has been spoken about who's going to open the batting with David Warner.
Yes.
Marsh is obviously in some pretty good form at the moment. Obviously, Chris Rogers. Who are you leaning towards?
Yeah, Ambers, I was very much thinking that Chris Rogers will be the go-to man at the start. It's all been a bit complicated. I mean, Sean Marsh made his way back into the Australian setup through batting in the middle order for the Warriors here in Perth. I think JL and he decided, look, don't worry about pursuing the opening or number three position. Let's just get into a middle order, and he scored a mountain of runs. So too did Adam Boges. They both went to the West Indies. I think Sean would have started at five over there, but Rogers gets injured. They ask Sean to go to the top. Boges, he bats at five and gets 100. So then no one's doing anyone any favours at the moment. But I still think, even on the back of this tour match, maybe Rogers might be the guy that they go with, just initially, just because of his record in the UK. Majority of that's in county cricket, but he certainly plays the conditions well there. And Boges will most likely start in middle order. So it might mean Sean misses out at the start, but he's such a good player. He's a world-class player when he's going well, so it won't be long till he's in there. And it may be at the start.
And July 8 is the first Ashes test, of course, in Cardiff in Wales, which is a little bit unusual. But, mate, going back to the marathon, so Suncorp, are they matching dollar for dollar whatever you raise? Is there some way we can raise a bit more money for you?
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. I mean, there's so many charitable causes out there, and I think people, you don't want to overdo it and create too much charity fatigue. But, yes, there is the fundraising component. They're really great community events, and Suncorp Bank, who I'm an ambassador for, they are matching dollar for dollar for any funds raised. So I think Everyday Hero, the website everydayhero.com, and then you just search my name or anyone else that you might know that's running in this type of event, and you can contribute there. Yeah, so anything that I raise, Suncorp will match, which is great. And obviously all tax deductible.
Yeah, that is good. And also you are a runner, of course, which is why you're doing the marathon. But are you going to be in the Chevron City to Surf again this year?
Yeah, well, I certainly don't feel any inclination to that I'm going to catch the marathon bug.
Right, okay.
I'll be, but certainly the whole family will be, we like to give the City of Surf a go. All the kids get in at the various, you know, kid-friendly distances, and we'll be shuffling it along one of them. But I suspect the Perth, that City of Surf marathon, that's proper. That's got hills in it through King's Park.
It's serious.
Gold Coast, perfectly flat, running along the beach, you know, edge of the beach. It's picturesque, it's casual. The City Surf one sounds a bit risky to me.
Yeah. A bit of advice, Gilly, just make sure you beat Mel, mate, because you'll never live it down if she beats you in this marathon.
Well, we're committed right through. She reckons I'm going to get to the 100-metre mark out, well, you know, 41.9 and do the bolt on her. But as I say, she's got better stamina than me, so if I'm alongside her, I'll be happy.
You're a great family. We wish you all the best, mate. Thanks for joining us on the Dead Set Legend.
Pleasure, guys.
Enjoy the junior sport.